Epistle for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is taken from that of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brethren, put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another, if anyone has a grievance against any other. Even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive. But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And may the peace of Christ reign in your hearts. Unto that peace, indeed, you were called in one body. Show yourselves thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. In all wisdom, teach and admonish one another by psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing in your hearts to God by his grace. Whatever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Gospel is taken from that according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then the weeds appeared as well. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, dost thou not sow good seed in thy field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, An enemy has done this. And the servants said to him, Wilt thou have us go and gather them up? No, he said, Lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. They both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will say to the reapers, Gather up the weeds first and bind them in bundles to burn, but gather the wheat into my barn. This is the words of this morning's Holy Gospel. Let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I can remember as a kid growing up that during the summer, every once in a while, Mom would gather up the troops and send us out to weed the flower beds. Maybe it wasn't the worst job in the world, but it wasn't one of our favorites for sure. But of the flowers to weed, the worst one was definitely the zinnias, the seeds that you would plant, and then they'd be growing and they'd be just sprouting out of the ground. It'd be time to go weed that flower bed. And so you'd go there and you'd look at the weeds and you'd look at the flowers and you'd say, I have no idea which is which. And so you had a couple options. One thing you could do is you could take out all of one, or you could take out all of the other and just hope that you got it right. Or there's the middle ground where you could take out half of one and take out half of the other. And then, well, at least, you know, you didn't destroy the whole flower bed. But this dilemma is kind of what we see in the Gospel this morning. It's the same situation where the master and the servants see that there's cockle growing with the wheat. Now, the interesting thing about cockle and wheat is that when they originally sprout out, they look identical. You can't tell one from the other. And it's not until they begin to develop their ears, the fruit, that you can actually distinguish one from the other. And so it's impossible to pull them out until they are nearly mature, nearly full grown. And so the risk, obviously, until you get to that point, is that you'll pull out all of the wheat in addition to the cockle. And so, as a solution, the master decides to leave both, let them grow to maturity, and then to take out the cockle and to burn it first. Now, one desire that this gospel shows to, I think, brings out in all of us is something that we share with the Jews, a desire that we share with the Jews, something we have in common with them. And it's interesting, not just with this gospel, but with all of them. If we pay attention to the Jews and what they're looking at, what they're thinking, often it's a good wake-up call for us about our own souls and the things that we are desiring. But in today's gospel, we see that, we talk about the Messiah and how the Jews wanted the Messiah to be a political savior, right? Somebody who would come and drive out the Romans and to set up Israel as a powerful nation once again. And then what they got was a disappointment for them, right? They didn't get that. It made them grumble, and it made them eventually murder the man who they thought would restore the kingdom. But for us, we want an immediate and a complete victory as well, but in a slightly different arena. We want a Messiah who will convert the entire church, who will drive out all evil, and the sooner the better. This will enable us to spend our time on earth just soaking up the graces that the church has to give to us, and soaking up, almost by osmosis, all the graces of all the holy people who we are surrounded by. To live in a world where there are no sinful shepherds and where there are no sinful sheep. This is the desire that all of us probably have. We want that Redeemer who will do this, who will give this to us. Through His grace, He will destroy even the slightest traces of sin in the world, but at least in the church, and to purify it so that we can fully absorb all the graces possible. And so then when we hear about the God's plan in the gospel today, that He's going to leave the evil to grow up to maturity with the good, this can kind of be depressing to us. This is like the Jews figuring out that Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the man who could heal the sick and could feed thousands, had no plans of restoring Israel as a powerful nation. Now, this divine man who could convert the hardest of sinners, we know this, we've seen this. Think of how He converted Saul. But now He's telling us something similar today, that He intends us to live among sinners as well. And it's something which is just depressing for us, I think, in the world in general when we think about it. But in a way, it can be more upsetting for us when we see sin and corruption in the church itself. It's something which we will have to deal with. And so we know this, but at times it can be difficult for us. It can almost be overwhelming to consider the evil which we see. For one person, maybe there's one large cross which they have to carry all their lives. For another person, maybe it's one small cross, and then that obstacle, that burden is alleviated, and then another one appears. How often is it that the more effort I put into showing God my love for Him by serving Him, maybe by serving His church, the more suffering I end up having to endure? I stand up for the truth, and the only thing that I seem to gain is a longer list of enemies. What can we do to push on then in this valley of tears? In this world where Christ has told us that we will never be rid of sinners. We will never be rid of our enemies until the day we die. Not even within the church herself. Just when we think that we have a friend, he develops into an enemy. Just like the cockle which stealthily hid its true identity until it was almost fully mature, that's how it is so often for us within the church. What can we do? What can we make of all of this? St. Colette says that if there be a true way that leads to the everlasting kingdom, it is most certainly that of suffering patiently endured. So this is a consolation for us, in a way, to realize that this is the most certain path for us to heaven. The suffering when it is patiently endured. When Christ was in the world, He was despised, He was hated. In His greatest moment, His friends abandoned Him, almost as if they were embarrassed to be in His company. They deserted Him, happy to be rid of Him, it would appear. But Christ was still willing to suffer. He was still willing to be despised and to continue on in the midst of His enemies. So will I complain about my enemies to our Lord? About the burdens which I have to carry? About the wheat which turned out to be cockle? Our Lord had enemies. Our Lord was slandered. So why should we expect all of our enemies to become our friends, to suddenly come to us, to come to our assistance, to ask us for our forgiveness? St. Thomas a Kempis says, "Can I be a friend of Christ, yet be always looking for ways to avoid hardship? How can anyone be a friend of Christ, yet be always looking for ways to avoid hardship? How can our patience deserve any reward if we are never tested? We want to reign with Christ, but first we must suffer with Christ. But how can the good God who loves us so much allow us to suffer like this? Saint Therese of Lisieux says that our suffering never makes God happy, but it is necessary for us, and so He allows it while, in a way, turning His face, because He is sad to see it. So she says, I assure you that it costs him dearly to fill us with bitterness. It costs our Heavenly Father dearly to see us suffering. So how do we endure? St. Paul tells us today, let the peace of Christ rejoice in our hearts. Let the peace of Christ rejoice in us. Our Lord in the Gospel of St. Luke says that the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. And St. Thomas of Kempis again says that we must turn our whole hearts to God. Place none of our affection in the things of this world. Place no value on eternal, external things. Pay attention instead to that which is inside of us. We have to focus on the interior. Unfortunately, we are so blind. Right, too often do we not see the kingdom of God within our souls, but we really do carry this kingdom inside of us. As long as we're in sanctifying grace, we truly have God inside of us. This is a kingdom of peace and joy. Christ inside of us. This is a kingdom of peace. This is the kingdom of joy. And we carry it with us when we're in the state of grace. The more we detach ourselves from things which tie us down to the earth, the more we can remove those chains that link our hearts to these temporal things here below, the more fitting of a place our hearts are going to be for Christ to dwell within them when we get rid of these earthly affections. The hidden beauty that a clean heart offers is something which Christ cannot pass up. It's something which is very attractive to him, very pleasing to Christ. He visits these hearts often because they're prepared to receive him. It's as if he has an open invitation into their hearts. And what does he bring with him? He brings what St. Paul tells us we need to have. He brings that peace. Venerable Louis of Granada says that when there's no clouds in the sky, we can see far more easily the splendor, the power, the beauty of the sunshine. And then he says also, when the soul is free from sin and the gloom of passion, it participates in the divine light. We can see more clearly God within us. So the clouds are like those attachments that we have to these earthly things. Maybe a lot of times it's not even sin itself. It doesn't have to be sin to still cloud our vision from the beauty of God inside of us. It's just these other things which we are inordinately attached to. Little things we aren't quite willing to give up. Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity said, it seems to me that I have found my heaven on earth, since heaven is God, and God is within my soul. This isn't just some cute little saying that a 20-year-old sister came up with just to pass the time away, just to console herself. This is really true. This is true for her, and it's true for each one of us too. We should really realize this. We should try to meditate on it and try to find God inside of ourselves. She says, it seems to me that I have found my heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. Since heaven is God, and God is within my soul. When we're in this state of grace, God is within our souls. And so the more clearly that I can see this, that the kingdom of heaven is within me, the more easily I can put St. Paul's words today to practice. I can let the peace of Christ rejoice in my heart. So this is our challenge then, to understand that this world and the members of Christ's church in particular will never be perfect. When one burden is lifted, another one is going to be ready to take its place. Christ will not pull the cockle out until the harvest. We will not reach the point on earth where every battle has been won. But we still can let the peace of Christ rejoice in our hearts by emptying them of everything else, by emptying ourselves of these earthly attachments, making our hearts clean and pure so that we can see Christ's love, Christ's grace, Christ's presence inside of us as clearly as we can see the sun on a cloudless day. So do not allow these little transient attachments to distract you from the heaven which is in your own soul, even now. Where there is sanctifying grace, there is God. And where there is God, there is heaven. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.